speaker. So we have Ms. Nurul Hamiza Binti Afandi, and the title of her talk is Curating the Sea, Preserving Pahang's Maritime and Riverine Past. And Ms. Nurul Hamiza is also from Perbadanan Muslim Negeri Pahang.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. And a very good afternoon to members of the floor, members of the hall for today, Her Majesty Queen Aziza of Pahang, Malaysia, delegates from University of Oxford, delegates from Pahang and Malaysia, as well as the participants of the seminar for today. It's a pleasure, and indeed it feels so small to be here among like big names and scholars, but I hope this presentation will provide some insights into part of the reason why we're here today, as mentioned by Dato' Niza, which is how we actually organized this seminar workshop as part of the preparation or establishment of a maritime museum that we will open soon in Pekai, Pahang. So this is just to give some context into what we're working on by my colleagues and my director in Museum Pahang. So this is the Pulau Beram Museum, which we hope to establish it as a maritime museum. As you can see, even the site itself looks like a boat. There's a boat-shaped site. And yeah, this is what we've been working on for the past few years and for the upcoming year as well. If we look at the role of a maritime museum, why we want to establish a maritime museum in the first place in Pekan Pahang, I guess a lot of people, a lot of representatives have been talking about how the representation relates to the maritime life and maritime society. So a maritime museum plays a role in collecting, preserving and displaying objects from the past and present maritime life of its society and Pahang itself, as we have seen from some of the presentation, especially from Mr. Mahmoud's presentation itself, how we have a lot of records and history on how Pahang play an important role in maritime trade and also history. So why Pahang? Pahang forms part of the Malay archipelago, so I guess a lot of people in the hall would probably be aware or familiar with how this society of the archipelago is actually very eminently maritime in their habits, and how we are very interconnected in our nature. But then, of course, some people have also talked about colonialism and how this colonialism has caused the loss of this interconnectedness of Nusantara due to trade or material flow to be forgotten. So I guess part of our reason to establish this maritime museum is to at least uphold or reminisce and revisit this history, how we used to be a region that is so interconnected. As mentioned by a few speakers before, this the region or Southeast Asia has no borders. We used to be so interconnected by the rivers and the seas in history. So this is an overview of the establishment of the museum from the museology, regional and cultural point of view. So I guess this summarizes what Mr. Mahmoud has presented about the role of Pahang in trade, diplomatic relations, Malaysian war, and also how we have a lot of records highlighting the different transports and also different goods traded, including spices, by Pahang as well. Right, so apart from the records and historiography, I think it might be worth mentioning about the geography of Pahang itself. So when we talk about maritime, people would usually talk about the sea, but actually Pahang is very interconnected to its neighboring states via the river. So as we can see from this map, Pahang is located at the center of the Malay world, or Malaysia itself. So it's connected to Kelantan, Terengganu, Perak and Selangor, which is their neighboring states via the river itself. The river of Pahang, but the river of Pahang, Sungai Pahang itself is connected to like other rivers in the neighboring states. So you can actually, it's like a maritime highway, sort of. So it's like how you were connected with the maritime transport back then. Right, and also apart from the rivers, there's the trade routes, or like this one route known as the Penarikan, which probably some of the people in the hall have also came across or are familiar with. So this sort of like route or trade route lies between the Serting River and also the Jempol River. So this sort of like being part of the reason why Pahang is also one of the most important trade routes that connect the state itself with the west coast of the country. So Pahang is located in the east coast, so this route sort of connects Pahang with Muar and Melaka, which is located on the west coast. Alright, so thinking about a museum, not just a maritime museum, in general, we always think about what kind of story that we want to tell and what should it consist of. So at the moment, we're looking at these components that we want to present in our upcoming maritime museum. So some of it includes the historical background of Pulau Beram itself, because even the name of the place itself has its interesting origin, which is related to Aceh and also some of the kingdoms that kind of like have relations with Pahang. And then we have, of course, the maritime history of Pahang in Malay historiography. And then we're going to look at Pekan as a port city and how, of course, comparing it or with other maritime kingdoms and river civilization of the Malay world, because I think a lot of people are aware how, not just in the Malay world, but in the world civilization, a lot of these kingdoms arrive from, arise from estuaries and river civilizations. And of course, apart from the narrative that we want to present, we're going to look at the intangible and tangible cultural heritage of maritime history in Pahang as well. So that includes geography, cartography, shipbuilding, maritime support, which is going to be covered by my colleague Neka tomorrow, and also the trade history of Pahang from archaeological evidence. So just a quick one on where this museum is going to be located. It's located in Pekan, which is a lot of our museums are located in as well. So I guess if you look throughout history, river estuaries have always been, we always have this affinity for rivers for Malay world, not just for illustration centers for the Malay world, but also the world civilization. I guess because it's like, if we use like, estuaries or rivers as highways, so people would go to places where it's more convenient to communicate and travel. So rivers and seas in Malay history has been known as like communication routes, settlements, as well as ports back in the days. And then of course Pekan itself is not just a port city, it's also where our royal town is. So in Malaysia we have like royal towns for each state, so Pekan is also where the royal town is, or the seat of rule is. So back then when people have to enter the country, they would have to first dip themselves into the presence of the sultan or the ruler. So it's convenient to like trade or like enter the place via the estuary of Pekan, because it's just where you would have to go and meet our sultan. Right. Okay, I guess this has been covered, which is where we're getting Pahang and also the Malay world. And yeah, that's one of our collections, textile collection.
It's okay. Okay, go.
So we're moving to the next part of the tangible heritage that we want to present in the museum, some of like the artifacts that we would consider to present to support the narrative of the Maritime Museum. Right, so one of the earliest, I guess, artifacts that are related to trade that we have in the museum is we actually have one of the Dongsun drums. Some people may be familiar with the Dongsun culture, which is the manifestation of belief system related to culture, which is which came from a region called Dongsun in Vietnam. So these Dongsun drums have been found in some places in Malaysia, including one in Pahang as well. So usually these drums are found in areas where there are like resources, so where gold and tins are being found. So the Malay is actually one of the places where these mineral resources are, where we have rich mineral resources in the place as well. This is just one of the drums, or one of the fragments that we have found in the Malay, which is now being exhibited in the archaeology gallery in our museum. So we also have the Pontian shipwreck in our collection. So this is actually one of the important artifacts in the region, because it's actually the oldest Southeast Asian vessel being found in Southeast Asia. So it's dated back to 1,600 years ago, which kind of like tell you the construction, the technology that they have 1,600 years ago, and this is made from fully wood, like they use wooden dowels, and there's no nails being used in the construction of this Pontian shipwreck. It's found in Pontian in Rumping, which is at the south of Pahang. So to have like an evidence of how ships are being constructed, and we can see how these are being constructed constructed and what kind of things that they brought as well is actually quite amazing. If you are in archaeology, then you know how rare it is to find something as organic as this to be preserved in history. And this is some of the displays that we have in the archaeology gallery. And then apart from the shipwreck, there's another shipwreck that was found in Kuantan. But we don't have the shipwreck in our collection. We actually have the ceramics from the Royal Nanhai shipwreck. So this one dated from around 500 years ago. So this one, we have the collection, most of the collections are from Thai ceramics. Right. And then the most recent finding related to shipwreck in Pahang is actually this Benjung shipwreck found in 2021, just like around four years ago. But this one is more recent. It's a business steamship, probably dated from the end of the 19th century. But still, I think it's important because it kind of like shows the evidence that it's found in Benjung in Kuala Lumpur. So it used to be, it's known to be a region that's rich with mineral resources such as and gold as well. So the findings of this steamship sort of like kind of like proves the evidence of the existence of this area and European works that were going on during that time as well. So we've talked a lot about Pekan, I think, in the beginning. But I think there's one we've talked a lot about Pekan in the records or in historiography in the beginning, but I think there's another thing we want to highlight in the next slide, which is there are also traces of archaeological evidence that has been found in Pekan. This one in particular that were shown in the slide is from Kuala Pahang. So it's the river estuary of Pahang. Kuala means estuary. So there has been Chinese ceramics found in the estuary of Kuala Pahang. So it's kind of like an evidence to trade activities being done over there. And even in the records as well, like in more like contemporary records, history of Pahang and also a 20th century British report also mentioned this area as a port. But it's probably not as prominent as any other port because of the area itself, like the geography area of the estuary itself. The next one is Dioman, which is mentioned by Her Majesty the Queen in her speech. So Dioman is famously known as a collecting center for a range of local products. So if you're familiar with a collecting center is used to, collecting center usually refers to like a place or a spot where you can get a range of forest products or natural products, which is something that's quite hard to prove because this is something that doesn't survive, or like it's like something that doesn't survive in archaeology. So to prove a place is a collecting center is quite hard. But then Dioman is one of the examples of this. Particularly Teluk Nipah and Kampung Juara, there are two villages in Dioman. So why do we say this is a collecting center? It's because Dioman is famous for its natural resources such as fresh water and natural harvest. But we also know that it's a spot or it's a place where trade happens because we actually have a record document that mentioned about Dioman being a port and also like how people have been harboring in Dioman, and also we actually have ceramics found in Dioman as well. So this is one of the ceramics that were found. I think this one is from the 15th century, from the Ming Dynasty. And if you go to the next slide, we have all sorts of these ceramics found in Dioman as well. This is just some part of it. We have like, I think, over 200 ceramics found in Dioman itself. So we have Chinese, Thai ceramics, Khmer, Vietnamese, and some other ceramics from other places as well. And I think one of the things that are quite important to highlight, as I've seen in a lot of other maritime museums as well, is the shipbuilding technology or the traditional boats. I think it's interesting how, like, because as a younger generation, I think we're not really familiar with this maritime transport and maritime history and how people actually go to places on like river and routes, things like that. But then to look at how there are different types, like I guess like 100 different types of like boats that serve for different things. Like there are definitely going to be reasons why these different names or different types of boats exist. So as you can see, there are different boats that are being used in, Pantai Timur is East Coast and then Pantai Barat is the West Coast. So different boats are being used in the West Coast and the East Coast of Malaysia. And there are also different boats being used in rivers and also different, I guess what we can say, anatomy for different regions, because of course you can't use a boat that are being used in the sea because it's big to use it in the river. So, and then this is not, it's not just about the boat, the different type of boats, but also if we can go to the next slide. Yes, traditional boats have a lot of like components and decorations as well. So even though a lot of these decorative elements are more of a character of like Terengganu and Kelantan boats, which are more up north in the East Coast, but I think it's interesting to see how these components or decoration actually tell something as well. So for example, if we found a shipwreck or a boat, like for example these boats that we have stored in the gallery for now, it doesn't have any sail. But then because, the one on the right is called Bangau, if I'm not mistaken. So if you look at a boat, I was having this conversation with one of the curators at the museum, and he looked at the boat and then saw this Bangau on the boat, and then he says that, oh, it must have a sail because it has a Bangau, because Bangau is the resting place where you put the sail. So if you look without the sail, you can tell a lot of things from the components of the remaining components of the boat itself. So this, so yeah, a lot of the components actually tells you things. So in like the shipbuilding process, I guess, I think it's amazing how people don't use plans in the past, and then things just like kind of like work out for them to sail. But yeah, of course, there are like, I think these are the things that you call like local genius, that like you just like, I don't know, it becomes like part of their maritime habit, or like, yeah, maritime routine. It's just part of their life to do things. And yeah, it's just become their second nature. And one of the things that I want to highlight, one of the last things that I want to highlight as well, is the traditional navigational techniques in this maritime life. So I think without like GPS and without like land routes and land travels at the time, I think it amazed me how people, well, we talked a lot about astrolabes and these technologies, but looking at the nature actually helps people navigate their ways on the sea a lot. So this is what some of the things that I read or heard from some people who study astronomy and navigational techniques as well. So you actually can look at ocean swells and wave patterns, and then people have been looking at wind patterns, landmarks and sea marks to actually navigate themselves on the sea, which I think is really amazing. Like their observational skills are like, yeah, so amazing that they can look at these mountains and sea color and actually navigate themselves through it. And I think one of the most thing that I'm kind of like quite amazed with is that you can look at animals, dolphins, flying fish and seabirds to actually tell where you're going to go and where you are. So it's actually quite cool, I think, all these things. But yeah, if we don't like actually preserve all this maritime history, maritime society's story, then it's just gonna go, not being preserved. So I guess that concludes the end of my presentation. I would like to thank my director for the opportunity to present here, and then of course my colleagues for the encouragement, guidance, and also support. And for your attention as well for the past 15 over minutes, I'm sorry, but hopefully this will provide an insight, and hopefully the rest of the day and also will be fruitful for us to contribute to the establishment of this maritime museum.
Thank you. Fantastic. I did not want to stop you. I thought that was an excellent presentation. And again, fascinating in terms of, you know, archaeological discoveries and how archaeological discoveries can help construct Pahang's maritime history. Thank you so much, Ms. Nurul Hamizah.